Chicago. This is your morning routine.
Listen, respect my name.
Cap and J-Hood.
That's right. We bad.
Watch the show on Twitch. Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago. Stream the show on the ESPN Chicago app and on FM 100.3 HD2 and on ESPN 1000 Chicago. Now. David Kaplan and Jonathan Hood.
Good morning, everyone.
Bring them out. Woo! Bring them out.
I'm your number one fan.
Today I'm going to start with number one.
Now you feel like number one.
I'm coming for that number one spot.
Number one.
Welcome in to the Cap and J-Hood Morning Show on ESPN 1000, and we're streaming on the ESPN Chicago app. Cap is off today. I'm J-Hood on the Cap and J-Hood Morning Show. We got Che, we got Jay Moore, we got you for a three-hour ride here on this number one Tuesday. We'll open phone lines for you, 312-332-ESPN, 332-3776 is our phone number. Good morning, Twitch. Twitch.tv/ESPN1000Chicago. Thanks so much for watching the show and all the shows here on ESPN Chicago. And indeed, it is true. It happened Monday night. The Chicago Blackhawks won the NHL draft lottery, earning the right to phenom Connor Bedard. The Blackhawks last selected the number one pick overall in 2007 when the Hawks took Patrick Kane. The Blackhawks had the third best odds to win the first overall pick this year at 11.5%. I want you to think about where the Blackhawks were and how the Blackhawks took over the city because there was a championship window. And the Hawks went through that window three times. Three Stanley Cup championships. And the city was on fire because even if you're not a Blackhawks fan, you know how this city rolls, right? If you are a winner, we're all jumping on the bandwagon. You don't have to go back generations. You could just be a recent fan and say, hey, this team's winning. And nobody jumps on a bandwagon like we do in Chicago. And rightfully so. Because we're so few and far in between with championships and success for a lot of our teams. But the Blackhawks were able to get the number one pick. A big day for Kyle Davidson, the general manager, and the Chicago Blackhawks. As we turn the page on the Taves and Kane era for the Chicago Blackhawks, what happens? The Hawks get the number one pick. But as we take a little deeper dive in this, honesty compels me to tell you, and if you've listened to me for years, you know where I'm going with this. If you're listening to me for the first time, then this will be new to you. I think that in our city of Chicago, that we shouldn't have to tank. Teams should not have to do this. But this is kind of like a refinance on your home because it gives you a second opportunity to be able to get what you want. And the same thing here with the Chicago Blackhawks. So tanking in sports refers to the practice of intentionally fielding non-competitive teams to take advantage of league rules that benefit losing teams. And boy, the Blackhawks, what they did to get to this point here this morning, it was painful in a lot of different ways, as you well know. So after the Taves and Kane and Quinville and the championship era, the Blackhawks took it a different direction, knowing that you weren't going to be able to keep these guys. There was no way to rebuild with the quality players they already had. So one by one, they started leaving the Hawks sweater behind. And so this is where we are here in 2023, where teams use this practice, use what they have at their arsenal to say, we're going to start over. There's many examples of this. I mean, in our city, the Chicago Cubs, many Cub fan friends of mine never thought that they would live to see the day that the Cubs would win a World Series championship. But it happened. It happened on my watch. I'll never forget that post-game show that I hosted once the game was over. The Cubs won the World Series, and it was surreal. There was thousands, not hundreds, thousands of fans right in front of our old National Bank studios. right out in front watching our postgame show. They would not go home. They were dancing in the streets on Staten Lake because the Cubs won the World Series. But there was a lot of pain through that, generational pain, a lot of financial and emotional investment in the Chicago Cubs for many years. 542 losses between 2009 and 2014. Theo Epstein comes in. Epstein says, this is going to hurt. It's not like ripping the Band-Aid off. It's ripping the Band-Aid off, a gauze pad, ripping it all off. Because it's going to be a gaping, bloody wound. And that's what the Cubs were for a long time. And then Theo comes in, they tank, and the Cubs win the World Series. That's exactly what happened. With the Chicago Bears, we talk about the Bears every day, and you and I both know what's happening with the Bears. Clearly, they picked a lane. Very hard to be able to take it all the way to the studs and tank to be able to get back up there to win the Super Bowl, but some have tried. This is where the Bears are right now. Ryan Poles looks at the Bears and says, okay, we have some high-priced talent here, but we can turn the page on Akeem Hicks and Roquan Smith and Khalil Mack and so many others, and we're going to reassess what we have and build through the draft and free agency and build it up to be a sustainable team and a sustainable contender in the NFC North. That's still to be determined, but this is the direction that they've taken over there in Lake Forest. But the Blackhawks, since the Quenneville administration, 116 losses since the last time the Hawks were in the playoffs to where they are right now. 116 losses. This is the path that the Hawks took. What I like about it is that Davidson told all of us, the general manager, hey, look, this is the direction we're going. We're going to rebuild. It is so difficult to tell you, me, and a paying fan base, hey, by the way, we're going to suck for a while, so we're going to need your season tickets. That's testicular fortitude to the max when you could tell a fan base, hey, by the way, trust the process, but please renew your season tickets. Please believe in us. Make sure that you bring your family. You're going to go and pay to see a lot of losses here. But eventually, we'll come out whole on the other side. Now, again, you could tell a fan base that, but will it really happen? And that's the question, right? As cool as it is for the Hawks to have the number one pick, nothing's guaranteed. And it is a great day if you're a Chicago Blackhawks fan because you are in the Connor Bedard sweepstakes. It seems obvious that you take a 17-year-old kid who has been tremendous in the WHL with the Regina Pats. He's got 134 goals the last 3 years. He's 17 and should be the number one pick for the Hawks. Does that mean that you're going to win right away? No, but that's a huge building block in the right direction for the Blackhawks. But tanking still resonates with me in that, man, do you really have to do that in this city? Teams have done it, but you shouldn't have to. Because I think that even in our city, we're not a small market. We shouldn't have to lose on purpose. There should always be a winning team or close to being a winning team, or at least a postseason team. Many examples of this in sports, like the Jacksonville Jaguars, for example. They tanked the season, finished 1-15 a couple of years ago, and got the first overall pick in that draft, and that was Trevor Lawrence out of Clemson. He was considered the best college quarterback prospect in a generation, and guess what? They got to the playoffs. After they got rid of Urban Meyer, they got to the playoffs. And so the objective always, always in sports should be that you should try to play to win. You should try to field a team to try to win. When we had Alex Brown in here, or when we talk to other athletes, you know what they say? They said, no, I don't play the game in order to do what the organization wants as far as tanking. They want a true opportunity to win all the time. Otherwise, why do you put on the cleats? Why do you put on the uniform? Do you go in there trying to lose? While it's true that a team can have a chance at a better draft pick by tanking, it does violate the foundational principle, but also serves as a slap in the face to entire fan base, unless you win. And again, I underlined the sentence, unless you win. That's the difference. It is a slap in the face when you got to do this, but unless you win, right? Fans are the main supporters of professional sports leagues, financially, emotionally. In return, you know what we expect? We expect hard-fought entertainment for our dollar. That's exactly what we're looking for. And unfortunately, it doesn't happen all the time for all teams. The 76ers are a perfect example of this, right? The 76ers told the fan base, oh, no, no, we're going to lose a lot. Trust the process. And if you're a Sixer fan, you're thinking, well, okay, trust the process. Where's the championships? Yes, there's Joel Embiid, and yes, there's James Harden, but where's the championships? My point is that it is unfortunate that the Hawks had to do this, but I understand why. Because they want to be in a position to be able to be right back up there again, winning Stanley Cup championships, and really reimagining what the organization was. But I think that if you're a Chicago Blackhawks fan today, you can't fight City Hall on this. Look, Shay, I've said this for many years. Like, you should not have to tank and do this. But I can't fight City Hall on this because this is a practice in sports today. I always think, my dad used to say this all the time. He said, boy, let me tell you something. It's easy to quit. It's easy to just fold your cards and quit. But if you fight, and if you fight long enough, you can be able to get to where you need to be. But I understand as a sports practice, this is what teams have to do. If they feel like, hey, man, we've tried everything we can to try to win, we're just going to unplug this thing and we're going to fold our cards and walk away from the table, you can do that. But in this city, even though I might stand alone and say I don't like tanking in my hometown, I understand why it's happening. And for the Blackhawks, you should be pretty happy today about having the number one pick, because even though you say, well, Hood, he's only 17. No, he's a phenom. Just one YouTube search. Take a look at the highlights. I mean, for a 17-year-old, people are comparing him to some of the greats and young players that we see today. So that's good for the Hawks. Even though I don't like it, when it comes to tanking, this can be able to accelerate the Blackhawks and where they're going for the future. So let's open the phone lines and talk about this. 312-332-ESPN. 332-3776 is our phone number. Again, I can't fight City Hall on this. You can tell me, Hood, all these examples of tanking, it's okay. Cubs won the World Series. Sox are not in that conversation. That was a pop-up championship in 2005. Look what the Blackhawks did. Look what the Bears are doing. So I can't fight you on this. But I just think that in my city, we should always demand the best. We should always demand for a team to always be in a position to win. So the question I would have for you is this. Was it worth the tank? Do you like that the Blackhawks tanked to get here? I just want to get your overall thoughts on that. I have a higher standard when it comes to our teams being able to compete all the time, especially for how much money that we dole out on a regular basis for season tickets. And to try to bring your family to the games, you should always try to compete. But if you're the Blackhawks, everything that's going on in that organization, they needed some good news. And the Hawks got some good news. And it's time to celebrate the number one pick. That's for sure. So was it worth the tank? Do you like the way that they were able to tank to get here? Let's get your calls in on that. 312-332-ESPN, 332-3776 is our phone number. The obvious objective, competitors play to win, not to tank. But here we are with the Blackhawks, the number one pick. They're going to get Connor Bedard. Let's talk about it on the Cap and J-Hood Morning Show.
I'm your number one fan.
Today I'm going to start with number one.
Now you feel like number one.
I'm coming for that number one spot.
Number one.
Cap and J-Hood are back.
And you know this, man.
Chicago's home for sports. ESPN Chicago.
Cap and J-Hood, weekday mornings at 7 here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app. So glad that you're with us here. We'll have Shot or No Shot coming up at 8 o'clock. And oh, boy. You just can't keep the Bears out your freaking mouth. More Bears conversation is out there. There's an expert that says Justin Fields equals MVP. We'll get to that as we move forward here on Cap and J-Hood. Cap is off today on vacation. I'm J-Hood, 312-332-3776 is our phone number. Yeah, we're celebrating the Blackhawks getting the number one pick in the draft. It took place yesterday. And it just seems as though, it seems obvious to me, and a lot of hockey experts, that Connor Bedard will wear a Hawks sweater. He's 17. He should be the number one pick. Was with the WHL, the Regina Pats. I mean, 134 goals in three seasons for him in the WHL. So that seems like he's going to be the next guy as the Blackhawks turn over. No more Kane, no more Taves. It is a reimagined hockey team. But my broader question for you as a sports fan is whether or not you feel like it's worth tanking. It's easy to quit. It's easy to fold your cards. And I just think in a city, and maybe I just look at Chicago differently than some, I just think that you should always be in the mix. I mean, we could talk about market sizes all we want, about New York and Los Angeles and Chicago and Boston and Dallas and the Bay Area and some of the big markets in sports. I just think that because we're such a rabid fan base and we love our Chicago sports teams, that the team shouldn't have to do this. But again, as I mentioned in our previous segment, it's like a refinance. You're just trying to do something different, saying, okay, I'm going to add on and I'm going to do something different, because sometimes you run into a rut as a team. And even though I would say, hey, Bulls, maybe you should tank, I just don't trust the front office to do that. That's why one of the reasons why I pause when I think about tanking is because a lot of front offices that we've seen over the last 20 years, I don't trust to do this. The Bears in this situation with Ryan Poles, I'm not guaranteeing anything with the Chicago Bears. And neither is Ryan Poles, by the way. But when he says, I want to do this the right way, that meant we're going to move a lot of this money off the books and we're going to bring in younger free agents and we're going to build through the draft and we're going to have something sustainable. That's the hope. It's an approach that I haven't seen with the Bears in quite some time. And so that's why this feels new and fresh. But again, why can't the Bears just always be in the mix like Kansas City or like Philadelphia or other teams? This is an option. This is option B when it comes to trying to build a roster. And again, I can't fight City Hall on this. I think some of you are like, yeah, number one pick, you know, go for it. But at the same time, it's like, why can't you just be a winner? 312-332-3776 is our phone number. All right, let's go to the phone lines to talk to you this morning. Let's say hello to Mike on the Northwest side on Cap and Jay Hood here on ESPN 1000. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning. So I guess it comes down to your definition and my definition of tanking are totally different. To me, when someone says a team is tanking, that's because the effort on the field is not there, whether it's because the players have given up or the coaching staff is not doing the right things to have those players win, whether it's a baseball manager, you know, letting his star pitcher, who might be one of the few on the team, get pulled after three innings when he could really pitch six. To me, that's tanking. When you're trying to get rid of players that have a marketing advantage for your team to other teams because you know you don't have the quality of a player's team to do something, that's not tanking. That's trying to get your team better for the future. I don't think the Bears tanked at one time this year in any of those games, nor did the Blackhawks. When they were playing, and I watched all the games, they tried to win those games. When the organization traded away some of their better players, I think it's because they realize the players we got are not going to win us a championship. Let's try and get a bunch of other younger, better players and trade those. It's the same thing the Hawks did when they won their games. They brought in guys who other teams didn't think would give them a chance to win, and it allowed us to win.
Let me just say this, Mike, and we appreciate the phone call. Okay, so it's that semantics. When we talk about tearing down or tanking, it's the same thing. It's the same thing. Because if you're not building on what you already have, and you can't win with that, that means that you're going the other direction. I always think that if you have a roster that you believe in, if the team's not winning, doesn't necessarily mean that you have to tear it down or tank. You could be able to add on or make trades and just be innovative. Some organizations don't do that. Some organizations say, well, we can't win with this. We've hit a rut, so we're just going to tear it all the way down and start over again. And I would just tell you that teams that have to do that are not very good organizations. If you cannot have sustained success or have a record of sustained success of saying, hey, at least we're in the playoffs. Like I love when Cap tries to redefine sports for me and tells me that, well, you know, if you make the playoffs, there's no value of that in the NBA. Of course there's value of getting in the postseason. Why the hell are you into sports? You're into sports as an owner or as a fan because you want to see your team beyond the regular season. So when he tells me, like, oh, the Bulls making the playoffs, that doesn't mean, if they make it, it doesn't matter. Sure, it matters. Sure, it does. So my point is, though, when it comes to rebuilding or tearing it down, it's the same thing. Rebuild, tear it down, tanking. When you do that, that means that you're trying to bring in new players, trying to build through the draft. You feel like what you have here, you've hit a wall. And I just don't think that that's something that you have to do in this city. But again, I can't fight that. Like every team in sports has an opportunity to pick a lane. And that's the lane they want to pick, that's fine. But nothing's guaranteed with that lane. That's all I'm saying. I'm excited that the Hawks have the number one pick because they need some good fortune on the West Side. They need that. And you know that after that announcement, and it was classy by Davidson saying, hey, we're not going to bring Jonathan Toews back, then you kind of knew. Kane goes to the Rangers. Toews is gone. Like, okay. You can just see that that's the beginning of the end, and the end is here. And now a new beginning has happened for the Blackhawks, which I'm excited about. But again, I just don't think that that's something that should be on a regular basis in this city. We should be able to look at a winner as often as possible in this town. 312-332-3776 is our phone number. If they don't reach that, that's a failure on the organization's part. I think Davidson would tell you that as well, that the organization failed to keep a championship standard going, so this is the direction that they're going. Ryan in Mount Prospect is on ESPN 1000. Hey, Ryan.
Morning, Jay Hood. Big fan. Love all your opinions, and I love the fact that you stay true to who you are. When you actually say an opinion, you have conviction about it, and you're not biased. You say it how it is, and I can very much appreciate listening to you, so thank you very much.
Thank you.
You know, growing up, for me, I think the perception, I think things for a Blackhawks fan are different because growing up, they were never even on TV. They've evolved from people not caring about them to all of a sudden they care about them. Like, our perception as Blackhawk fans have changed because we went from, well, we expect them to be on TV. We expect them to be in the playoffs. And now we're at the point of we expect them to be one of the final four teams every single year. And I think that's good that people's expectations change with everything. I wish I could tell you, hey, you know what, I'm glad they tanked. I knew they'd get Bedard. I had no idea. I'm so glad that it worked out the way it did, but it could have just as easily not. And this is a deep draft, but the difference between one and, you know, two at Leo Carlson or Adam Fantilli are, they're so different because Bedard is on another stratosphere, and the other guys are very good, don't get me wrong, but Bedard changes everything. And I think that the Blackhawks, while I think a huge chunk of it is luck, because nobody can, Davidson's not going to sit up there and say, like, I knew this was the plan, I knew what we were going to get. Like, you didn't know that.
No.
I mean, you hoped it would help, but at the end of the day, a lot of it was luck. And let's be honest, I'm going to ride that for the next 20 years because I'm hoping he's going to be here now.
Yeah, on your way to another Stanley Cup championship with this kid, right?
Five more, I'm hoping. I'm hoping for minimum 5 feet. A minimum 5 feet is what I'm looking for.
You're being greedy. He wants another five, my friend. You got three under Quinville. Now you want another five. That's the way you want to think. Absolutely. That's the good feeling that you have as a Blackhawks fan. I get it. And it's like I said, I can't fight this because it's all throughout the bloodstream of sports. Like, we can't get this done. Well, you know what? Let's just start over. Start from scratch. If you want to do that, that's fine. But nothing's guaranteed. Hopefully, it means that the Hawks are going to be playing meaningful games in the postseason during the Stanley Cup Final. 312-332-3776 is our phone number. Chris in Batavia on Cap and Jay Hood on ESPN 1000. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm well. Thanks for checking in this morning.
Yeah. I had a quick take on not the previous caller, but the one before. It's kind of insane that he said that the Blackhawks weren't tanking. I mean, you can go all the way back to last offseason when there were already rumors that they were trying to move Kane and Toews. And then DeBrincat was gone, and they just started taking all the pieces apart. So, I mean, how can you say they weren't tanking? I mean, it's just, it's ludicrous.
He said he watched all the games, Chris. He said he watched all the games.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you can see by the crowd size, too, dwindling over the course of the year when they realized how bad the Blackhawks were going to be.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, I mean, and the other issue that, sorry.
No, go ahead.
I said the other issue that I had was, or sit there to watch a draft lottery last night, and it ended up being some joker flipping cards over. I mean, where was the actual lottery?
I saw it too. I don't know. It seemed fishy.
It was ridiculous.
But it seemed fishy, didn't it, Chris?
Well, fishy. I mean, people have had conspiracy theories ever since the Rangers won a couple years ago with Alexi Lafreniere. So it's, you know, It's the NHL. Can they put a little money into it and actually give the fans the confidence that the lottery's happening the way it should be? And look, I'm a Montreal Canadiens fan, but at the same time, I'm glad for the Blackhawks. I think the kid's going to be great. And if they can build back around them, the Blackhawks should be a perennial contender.
Chris, I'm glad you checked in, my friend. Appreciate your telephone call. 312-332. ESPN is our phone number. Was it worth the tank? Do you like that the Blackhawks tanked to get here? Again, and overall, your thoughts about tanking in sports. As I mentioned to you several times here on the show this morning, again, tanking in sports refers to the practice of intentionally fielding non-competitive teams to take advantage of league rules that benefit losing teams. The Blackhawks get that. And guess what? The Blackhawks are number one. They got the number one draft pick. So what do you think? Now what? It had to come to this because the Blackhawks just has revamped everything. You like it? Let's get your thoughts on it on the Cap'n Jay Hood Morning Show.
Here's today's headline with Cap'n Jay Hood.
Good morning, Chicago. Good news out of the United Center yesterday. The Blackhawks got the number one pick. Expectation is the Blackhawks will select Connor Bedard. Bedard is a potential franchise-altering player. The White Sox lost to the Kansas City Royals in the opener yesterday by a score of 12-5. Dylan Cease. Has anyone seen Dylan Cease, by the way? Anyone seen him? I mean, I saw him last year. I don't know if I've seen him this year. He allowed 7 runs and 9 hits. A season ERA now at 5.58. The Sox and Royals tonight at 6 o'clock. You can hear the coverage right here on the home of the White Sox, ESPN 1000. The Cubs lost the opener to the Cardinals 3-1. Wilson Contreras, he returned to Wrigley Field, went 2-for-4 with 2 RBIs and a lot of boos. The Cubs are now 17-18 on the season. Game 2 tonight at 6:40. LeBron James and the Lakers take a 3-1 lead over Golden State. Jimmy Butler led the Heat to a Game 4 victory. They take a 3-1 lead over the Knicks. Jay Moore.
Okay, it's about that time. You're tuned in to the Cap'n Jay Hood Show.
Everything ain't hardcore, you know.
On Chicago's home for sports, ESPN Chicago.
Cap'n Jay Hood, weekday mornings at 7 here on ESPN 1000 and streaming on the ESPN Chicago app. We got Shot or No Shot coming up at 8 o'clock. Don't forget, Bleck and Abdallah, they will crosstalk with me at 10 o'clock as they're in for Greeny. Carmen and Yurko from 12 to 2, Waddle and Sylvie 2 to 6, running the White Sox baseball to take on the Royals, 6 o'clock with our coverage right here on the home of the White Sox, ESPN 1000. That ESPN Chicago app, by the way, where you can find the Chicago Bears podcast with Pat the Designer and crew. He's always got someone special as a guest on the show. You need more Bears? Check it out. The Chicago Bears podcast available now on the ESPN Chicago app. The Chicago Blackhawks have the number one pick. Did you hear? Did you hear about this? The Blackhawks won the NHL lottery last night, earning a right to the phenom, Connor Bedard. The Blackhawks last selected first overall in 2007 when they took Patrick Kane. And so we're talking to you about it. This is a rebuild, clearly, with this Blackhawks team. As Jonathan Toews, no longer with the hockey club. Same thing with Jonathan Kane, who was sent to the New York Rangers. So you know that this is brand new for Davidson, the general manager for the Chicago Blackhawks. And we're just kind of talking about this, the overarching topic about tanking. How did the Blackhawks get the number one pick? Because they tanked. Because they reset the franchise. And Davidson told you that this is going to be a rebuild. When Kenny Williams was so hesitant to say rebuild, Davidson just came out and told you, like, yeah, we're going to rebuild this thing. Because the championship window is long closed in the Quenneville administration, in the McDonough administration, so it's time to do something different. So I totally understand why the Hawks are taking this path. I'd rather for the Blackhawks or all of our teams to always contend, but I know everyone can't do that. It's a path that some teams will take. They will look at it and say, we can't do anything else. Like we've stacked on a lot of talent. This dog won't hunt. We're going to make trades. We're going to sell off our assets, and we're going to rebuild. I'd rather for our city to be able to have teams that are always sustainable, that's always an opportunity to win, but it doesn't happen for everybody. And again, I can't fight City Hall on that. As much as I hate tanking and don't like the idea that our teams tank, this is an operation that some teams will do. It happens in the NFL. It happens in the NHL, clearly. It happens in Major League Baseball, the NBA especially, where teams like, yeah, you know what? we've hit a road here. We just can't get it done. We're just going to just reset. Instead of trading and being smart and trying to get better and trying to get draft picks, what do? Sometimes people just hit the button, boom, done. So we're talking to you about it here, 312-332-3776 is our phone number. Was this worth the tank? Marilyn is joining us here on ESPN 1000 on Captain Jay Hood.
Go,
yeah, yeah, hi.
You and I are kindred spirits here.
Uh-huh.
I feel the same way. I consider it cheating. I wasn't raised like that. The only thing my father ever cheated on was his water bill. And I just don't like the way we had to do it. But I guess that's the way they're allowing it. I'm very disappointed. I'm not happy at all. But I'm happy that they got the number one. I'm on the fence here. So, but we seek alike.
I just know that this is a direction that some teams will take to be able to say, okay, we're going to tank. We're going to go in a different direction. It's just too bad. Because I always think, okay, if you're going to tank, you still want my money for season tickets? I always look at it from that standpoint, right? Hey, just so you know, we're going to reset, but please make sure that you give us the money. That's always a slippery slope with this, right? It's a business. It's a way you do things. But here's the thing, though, about that, Shay, as I say that, we fall for the okie doke as fans. You mean to tell me this team's going to be better in 3 or 4 years? Here's my money because I need the entertainment, right? That we'd fall for that. We might go away for a while, but we'll be right back there in the mix, especially when the team is good.
I'm going to play devil's advocate a little bit because,
oh, of course,
I love when teams do this. Mm-hmm. And it's especially in this kind of unique situation. It's what I talked about with the Bulls. When you have Victor Wembanyama, who by all accounts is this once-in-a-generation can't-miss guy, the style of LeBron, Anthony Davis, etc., or you have Connor Bedard, who is this, you know, Gretzky, Lemieux, McDavid type, then yes, as a fan, I want you to be bad if you're not going to be good. That's like either be in the mix to win it or be terrible and get this once-in-a-lifetime guy. It's the hard part where you better deliver once you have it, but I would rather do this than grind out X number of wins for no reward.
I just never grew up in a culture of losing on purpose. That's just me. I've never grown up in that sports culture of losing on purpose to get to where you need to be. And again, this is talking about me going way back as a sports fan, as a Chicago sports fan. I understand that's the avenue now because teams have been smart enough to find the loophole. I just think that, you know, you build on what you have or be innovative enough to be able to trade off assets. You know, I say this to Cap all the time about the Cubs. You know, after the 16 championships, 17, 18, you underachieve. And after 18, there should have been some new parts of that Cubs team to keep the train going. And they did not. They stood pat with the same players that couldn't hit, that was giving you 3 runs or less. It sucked. And then now they had to be able to take another step down, and now here come the Cubs again because they had to spend $300 million in payroll in the offseason to try to get to where they are right now, which is average or maybe below average. 2024, there should be the team where they should be in the postseason. We'll see. 312-332-3776 is our phone number. There he is. It's Howard in Lakeshore Drive on ESPN 1000. All right, Howard, good morning.
Hey, Jay Hood, how you doing? I've been listening to you since the days of you and Doug Buffon.
Thank you. You're not that old.
I am that old, unfortunately.
Please tell me your thoughts on this, Howard.
I agree with you. I never want a team to lose purposely. But I think there's a difference between sort of a teardown and tanking where you're trying to lose. If you've got a team and you're resting your best players or you're not trying to win a game, you lose. You forget how to win. You know, you need to always be wanting to win. But if you have a team that is always just sort of mediocre, you do the best. And if that means that you bring in some young players that aren't going to win right now, but can give you the opportunity to develop, and I would enjoy watching the team. I'm looking forward to watching the Bears and seeing how they develop. And I think that, like with Justin Fields, people wanted to see him play. Was that the best opportunity to win at that time? Probably not. But you wanted to get him to get a chance to develop. And he wouldn't develop sitting on the bench.
Howard, I'm glad you checked in with your viewpoint. I appreciate your telephone call. 312-332-3776 is our phone number. More of your phone calls coming up. Also still to come, Dan Orlovsky with some thoughts about Justin Fields. All part of the mix. Cap and Jay Hood on ESPN 1000. Also on 100.3 FM HD2.
Good morning. Glad you're along for the Cap and Jay Hood experience. We're here weekdays from 7 to 10 on Chicago's Home for Sports, ESPN.
Hello.
Chicago.
Good morning.
Paris is on the Eisenhower on the Cap and Jay Hood morning show here on ESPN 1000 as the Hawks get the number one pick in the draft in the lottery yesterday. Hello, Paris.
Hey, Jay Hood, how's it going?
Good, man. Thanks for checking in. Go ahead.
Absolutely. The goal in sports is to win a championship, and the Blackhawks are closer to a championship today than they were 24 hours ago. So I'm pro-tank in situations if you're not on the path to get a championship. The goal is to get the best players. That's the best way to get a championship. So as long as the current rules are in place, I'm all about it. Now, here's a simple solution if you don't like tanking. I don't know why none of the teams, the leagues have done this. Basically, have the lottery go in reverse order. Mm-hmm. Have the best team that doesn't make the playoffs get the best odds. So that way, everyone is competing in every game to the end, and the best team that doesn't make the playoffs has the best odds. The worst team in the league has the worst odds. There's your solution.
As I said, I can't fight you on that because it's commonplace now in sports. But I understand what you're saying because of the number we saw during the break. I know that it's more than it was when we saw from Darren Revelle as far as how many season tickets have been sold. What is it, Jay, now? What's the number?
Last I saw it was $2.5 million in the hour and a half since they won the number one pick. So it's going to be well over that number by now.
So they're going to be waiting for Bedard to get on home ice to see this young phenom. And again, nothing's guaranteed overnight, but I can understand why an organization would be jump-started. And you say, okay, we got the number one pick. He's on the ice now, and now we're going to build with him and then moving forward. You add some free agents, a little sprinkle here with free agency money, and then you should be in the mix in the playoffs. Does that mean the championship? No. But this is the direction that they took. And again, I can't fight it, even though I hold my nose at teams that tank, but maybe it will work for the Blackhawks. It happened before. You know, what teams in the city. So it is what it is. Justin Fields. Let's talk about him just for a second. So we've heard this comment before, but here's a doubling down from Dan Orlovsky regarding Justin Fields. He really believes that the quarterback of the Bears will be in the MVP conversation this upcoming season.
Justin Fields is going to be in the MVP conversation this season. Greeny, I said that last year and everyone mocked it. Okay, so just to remind everybody at home, the Chicago Bears had the number one pick. Okay, they were terrible last year. The only reason that they were actually in games because of Justin Fields. Fast forward to this year, their general manager, Ryan Poles, has done a couple things. Number one, this offensive line has gone from weakness to potential strength. The addition of Darnell Wright, Nate Davis they brought over in free agency, Tevin Jenkins kicks inside. Number two, DJ Moore. There's finally some decent talent on the outside that he's going to have the chance to throw to. And then three, the growth that he is going to have. Everyone continues to say follow the Jalen Hurts model for the style. No. Justin Fields' season should look a lot like what Josh Allen's second season did that last half, because he finally has the right people around him to allow his talents to excel.
You know, it's a strong take. You know why? Because of the guitar riff. That's when you know it's a strong take. Because if it was just a piano, I mean, that wouldn't have been as good. But, you know, when you have the guitar riff behind the take, that's when you know it's a strong take. A strong one from Dan Orlovsky. You know, there's something to be said about having an opinion, being wrong about that opinion, and then doubling down on that opinion. Right. Troy Tulowitzki is going to be the greatest shortstop that we've ever seen. This is while Derek Jeter was playing. I remember saying that and fighting people like, Troy Tulowitzki is going to be the greatest short we've ever seen. And guess what? He never was, because he's always injured and he was never going to be as good as the captain. And here's Dan Orlovsky. This is his Tulowitzki moment. If he just keeps saying it, then maybe one day it's going to happen. That's not my opinion, and that shouldn't be the opinion of everyone else. Fields will be the MVP in the MVP conversation this upcoming season. You know the conversation I want to have? I want to have the conversation for the Bears to be able to make a leap from 3 wins to the playoffs. That'd be a hell of a conversation, wouldn't it? Because that means that the organization has accelerated and taken several steps to be able to go through free agency in the draft, and everything seems to click for the Bears to be one of the teams, the NFC, being represented in the postseason, representing themselves in the postseason. That's the conversation that I want to have. I don't care if Justin Fields is going to be in the MVP conversation. That doesn't matter to me. See, this is when the sports conversation gets linear. When you get blinders on, just like, you know who's great? Justin Fields. Okay, so what about the rest of the team? You do realize that the Bears cannot get to where they want to be if they don't have a wide receiver that's dependable like DJ Moore, or how Chase Claypool's come into his own, or Darnell Mooney's healthy could be a viable option offensively. They can't get to where they need to be unless the offensive line comes together and be the iron gate that it should be for Justin Fields, where he can cut his rushing yards in half. Half than when it was last year, meaning that Darnell Wright and Nate Davis and Cody Whitehair and Tevin Jenkins and Braxton Jones and whoever else they want to put out there for the offensive line. Until that's right, I don't care about the MVP conversation. Until we see the defense have more than, I don't know, 20 sacks, until we see the Bears actually be able to get after the quarterback and not let the quarterback's uniform be clean, that means having someone that can get it done on the left side like Zach Pickens, hopefully that he can be able to step up, you know, as a rookie and be able to turn some heads. Same thing with Dexter that they drafted. For them to have the money that they put into Edwards and Edmonds at the linebacker spot for the secondary to be strong and not give up on plays, that's the thing that matters the most. But no, we've got to be able to just make the conversation small. Justin Fields, MVP. Why does that matter? Right? How about this? How about this, Shay? How about the Bears are better because everything seems to work? Where to go with your model? 3 wins to the playoffs, right? 3 wins to be able to get to the playoffs, and the team is just everyone is playing well. The defense is getting after the quarterback. The offense seems to be working. MVP conversation, why does that matter? Unless it's something I'm betting on. That doesn't matter to me. I mean, this is what happens when the conversation gets linear. It should be broader. How does the organization get better? That's the conversation. But now, That's not good enough for a soundbite, though. Justin Fields, MVP. Couldn't care less. And guess what? I don't think Justin cares. Couldn't care less either. Doesn't matter. Is the team better? Is the organization better? That's the conversation. But again, if he's on the MVP conversation next May, Orlovsky will be talking to Greeny. You know what? I think that Justin Fields is going to be in the MVP conversation.
Well, the thing about the MVP conversation is I just don't care. Like, you have to be Mahomes or Jalen Hurts to have that. I would like him to be in the Trevor Lawrence conversation, where at the end of the season we can go, team's is better. This guy like maybe top 7, top 5?
And team's better, though. Team's better.
But you play well, maybe you sneak into the playoffs because your division stinks, but otherwise you just vastly improve, and we start having a conversation about, has this guy entered the top 10 of quarterbacks? See, that's where I want to see this go.
The Jacksonville conversation is what you're talking about when it comes to the Bears, isn't it? You're making a leap from being terrible to being able to get to the playoffs. You changed the coach, you got a different philosophy offensively, and Trevor Lawrence is growing while he's in the postseason. That's what you want for the Bears, ultimately. That's what you keep telling Cap, and Cap won't listen to it.
And I think if you looked back at Jacksonville early in the year, Trevor Lawrence started the year off quite bad, and they weren't great. And then things kind of switched, and everybody started to gel a little bit. You had a really overhauled roster, and things got a lot better. And by the end of the season, we were talking about Trevor Lawrence as, you know, having a 12-week stretch where he was one of the 5 best quarterbacks in football. That's where I want to see it go to Fields. Maybe that extent won't happen, but that's the direction we have to go. MVP is just a leap. Your team has to be like 13-4 to even start that.
Just freezing cold take after freezing cold take after freezing cold take. Like, why does that matter? I know that the national media is rooting for Justin Fields. Hell, the local media is rooting for Justin Fields because there's an opportunity for him to be dynamic and for the Bears to have something they haven't had in decades, and that's a quarterback that they can rely on. But when you get this nonsense of he's going to be in the MVP conversation, that means you see the Bears in the playoffs? Because I don't. If they do, that's great. And even if they are in the playoffs, is Justin Fields the reason? Or has the defense come together? Or has the weapons come together? All that has to work. Again, team first. Justin Fields stands out, absolutely. But team first. Can the team start going in that direction? That's the whole thing.
Playoffs?
Exactly. In 2 minutes, we have Shot or No Shot right here on Cap and J Hood.